Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We really hope that you find it encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, why don't you visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
So I was remembering about whenever my son Ben was born. Because I was in the, in those days I used to play in a band, okay? Now, it wasn't, I didn't have long hair or anything. It was a worship band, a local guy called Robin Mark, and you know, Days of Elijah and all that. Well, I was his bass player, and the week that Ben was born, we were getting ready to do an event at the Odyssey. And it was Worship Belfast 2004, and Chris Tomlin was over. It was amazing. But Ben was being born that week, so I was thinking, am I going to get to play at this thing, or am I not going to get to play at it? What's going to happen? So fast forward to Penny into Labour, about 3 days before the event, and Hannah's story made me think about this. And actually what happened was I got talking to the midwife, who was a Christian. So me and her start to talk, and she says, I'm going to this big event at the end of the week called Worship Belfast. It's going to be so exciting. And I was going, no way, I'm playing at that. And she was like, that's amazing. Now, all the time, Penny's sitting there red in the face, okay, going, you know, and like those of you who have been through the whole baby thing will understand what that's like. And I got totally engrossed. I was meant to be doing the wee electric thing to keep Penny like pumped up. And I totally got engrossed with this midwife, and I was going, yeah, do you know, Tomlin's over, he's amazing. I can't wait to see that. And Paul Balosh, and she was like, we were in the zone talking. And meanwhile, Penny, I actually felt frustrated at one point because Penny was going, will you push that button? And I was going, oh, love, hold on. I am having a discussion here with this midwife. And then I was like, oh, hold on. I better keep the main thing the main thing. I'm actually here because my wife's having a baby. So me and the midwife caught ourselves on. We're like, oh, sorry, darling, we'll come back. And actually, that's kind of like what I want to speak about over these next 2 weeks. It's how do you keep the main thing at Christmas? How do you do that? Because this is an absolutely crazy time of year. I understand that particularly if you've got children or families and all that kind of stuff, you can very quickly lose what the whole point of this message is about. And what we're going to do, I'm going to explain over the next few weeks, if you get your Bibles ready and turn to Luke chapter 2, we're going to have a look at what God says about Christmas, because it's an incredible message, all right? It's an absolutely fantastic message. And one of the things that strikes me is that, especially in the church, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. We need to keep the main point about Christmas and not lose it. See, in the middle of all the fun, and I'm not like down on Christmas at all, okay? I am not like that at all. But here's the really important thing for me. Whenever I look around this world, and whenever I look around Belfast particularly, I see lots of people who are on this absolute kind of desperate kind of attempt to be happy at Christmas time. Isn't that right? And like the whole world forces you to be like kind of, yeah, I'm going out for my work, Stu, and I actually might not like the people that I work with, but we're all going out. It's going to be very exciting. And maybe you actually really do like the people you work with. But there's this whole thing of, you know, lights and music, and everybody's meant to be happy. And people are so desperate to be happy that sometimes we miss the point about what this message is about and what this time of year is about. And a few years ago, actually, I only really started to understand and have a different view of what Christmas was. And I really pray that you will get that same feeling too, actually, and the same understanding that actually at this time of year that we'll not get confused, we'll not get caught up in what just the world is doing, but we will understand that there's something totally different for us. Is that a good thing? It's a really good thing, isn't it? It's the funny thing about being happy is this. Happiness comes from the world around you. You know, people out there today, what they're trying to do is say, at this time of year, more than any other time of year, I really need to be happy. That's what this whole point of this time of year is about. You know, and we get conditioned by that. And often we become conditioned that at this time of the year, if I'm not feeling happy, then there's something wrong with me. I want to tell you this. There's a massive difference between what God says about being happy and actually experiencing joy at Christmas. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because happiness, if you're going to try this year to simply get into everything that the world does about trying to be happy, you are going to fail, all right? Because this generally, happiness goes like this. Happiness comes from the world around you. Happiness is conditioned by other people, and it's often dependent on what is happening in your world. So if people treat you good, if people treat you well, then everything goes well in your life, then generally you will have this feeling of happiness. But what happens when your circumstances are not favorable? What happens when actually life throws you a curveball, particularly at this time of the year? What happens if you're not seeing everything that you want to see in your world? Well, what happens to happiness then? It goes, doesn't it? But I want to tell you this, that what God talks about at Christmas time is something that goes way beyond happiness, and it's about joy. And in John 15, 10, Jesus put it this way. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Now, here's the thing. I really hope that you're happy at Christmas. But whenever Jesus said that he came, that you might have joy, you know what the word is in Greek? It's a word called chara. And it means to thrive and to be well. And I want to tell you this, that it is a profound, compelling of quality of life that transcends anything that's going on in your circumstances. Is called joy, and it originates directly from God. It's not conditional on your friends. It's not conditional on your money. It's not conditional on what's happening in your life. I'll tell you this, that at Christmas time, the whole point of this message and the Messiah coming and Jesus coming was this, so that you would not have to live going up and down like a fiddler's elbow, happy one day and not happy the next. Good if you've got some money to spend at Christmas. Good if you're going out with your mates. But you could live in this thing called joy, which means a condition where you thrive and you are well no matter what. Going on. That is what comes from God. It's a dimension of living that is not shaded by your circumstances. But I want to tell you this, at Christmas time particularly, and over these next few weeks, don't try to achieve happiness. Just receive the joy that God brings. Receive the joy that God gives. Now you think, well, how on earth does that happen? How on earth do you do that? You see, interestingly for me, Christmas time can be one of the loneliest times for people. Because it's one of these times, you know, whenever you look around the whole world and everything seems to be so bright and shiny. And what happens is it can accentuate deep inside the feelings of loneliness. It can accentuate inside the feelings of being left and abandoned and isolated. And there are people who live like that. And what happens at Christmas time, whenever people search for happiness, which fleets like this, actually inside you can find feelings that come up which are totally the opposite of what you're looking around in life. But they become much, much stronger. That's why so many more people try to kill themselves at Christmas. Seriously. So many more people at this time of year try to take their own lives. Why? Simply because they're in a search for happiness, which is fleeting. When they look around and they think, I'm not part of this. When they look around and they think, oh God, you know, this is all bright and shiny, but I feel so flippin' lonely. And that's why people go to measures which actually cause themselves harm and all sorts of things. Why? Because Christmas is not about being happy. It's about receiving joy from God. Joy, chara, to thrive and to be well. I want to tell you that no matter what your situation is at Christmas time, that you can thrive, you can be well, and you can receive every good gift from God at Christmas time, which will go way beyond whatever your circumstances are. I know that because I have lived it. And honestly, I want to encourage you this morning that you can do exactly the same. So let's turn to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read a little bit of this Christmas story. If you haven't got your Bibles, please bring them because we read them. And it's important that you read along. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him there in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. We've heard that story so many times, haven't we? You kind of, do you have visions in your head? And we're going to do this next week with our kids, you know, kind of tea towels on your head and dressing gowns around, you know, and look, it's the story. It's a lovely wee story. Jesus comes and all the rest of it. You know, do you know one of the things about this story is it's been so long misrepresented actually about what God was actually doing at this time of year. And it's incredible. And I just want to make something really, really simple. In a time of life and in a time of the year where everything is very busy and very complicated and very time consuming and very everything else, I want to say some really simple things this morning, okay? And hopefully the simplicity of it all will cut through some of the busyness that goes in our lives and in our hearts. But here's the first thing that I want to say to you this morning, that God knows you and that you are important to him. If Christmas means anything, I want you to know this morning that as you sit here, that what this story tells us from the very start is that God knows who you are, and more important than that, you are extremely important to him. Why? Because how do we know that? God chose to make this announcement to the shepherds. Now, here's the thing about shepherds. They were at the total opposite end of the social scale from all the really important people at the time. Okay, so you had all the people who the religious people liked, and then you had shepherds. And here's God, just about the whole weight of messianic prophecy, the whole history of the Jews, the whole thing about the Messiah coming. And he chooses to go to people who the religious people at the time would not even have taken under their notice. They were at the complete wrong end of any announcement from God, or so the people of the day thought. I mean, in Corinthians 1:26, 1 Corinthians 1:26, Paul writes it this way. Brothers, think of that. What we were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God has chosen you, the foolish things of this world, to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things. And all throughout Scripture, what we see is we see God honoring and using people that the world always overlooks. This is a great story if you're sitting here at Christmas going, do you know what? Does it really matter that I go into 2011? Does it really matter? I want to say this story tells you this, that although the world may be ignoring you, although all the religious people of the day today might be looking at you and looking down on you, I want to tell you this, that you're just like those shepherds, that God is choosing to bring Jesus to you at Christmas. And you know, the religious people will tell you that you're not good enough. The religious people will tell you, you know what, there's nothing in you which is good enough to receive from God. And I want to tell you this, that you know what the interesting thing about shepherds is? The reason why they were looked down is they could never be clean, ceremonially clean, because they had sheep poo in their hands. All right. So even when they went through the cleansing in the temple, they still had poo in their hands. That's literally why they were never allowed to be part and parcel of the religious setup of the day. And what does God do? God goes, you know what? I don't really care what's on your hands, because I'm going to send somebody to you who's going to clean you from the inside out, from the top to the bottom. And at Christmas time, if it means anything, the Messiah coming means this. You can be clean. And God knows that. And that's why, do you know what? You might be sitting here this morning thinking, do you know what? I feel like I've got that in my hands. I feel like that's what it's like for me. But I tell you this, when God came, he overturned what the people out there thought. And you matter to him. You absolutely matter to him. And he said, you're important to him. It doesn't matter if you know, the point is you can't keep yourself clean before God. You'll always have muck in your hands. But this story at Christmas, If you remember this point, I'll have done my job. Remember this, that God knows you and that you're important to him. And irrespective of what anybody else says, he chose at Christmas to come to you. Because he knows you and you're important to him. And he will make you clean. He will make you clean from the inside out. In verse 10, it's an amazing thing what the angels actually say. They say, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And you know what? There's been a whole lot of discussion about this. You know, but essentially what it means is this, that this good news of Jesus Christ coming is not limited to certain people. It's for everybody. There's a whole thing in theological thought today that actually it's men of goodwill, that the angels announced this good. And what they're trying to do is kind of put a ring around certain people and say, it's only men of goodwill that are qualified to receive this good news from God. That's not the way it actually reads in the original language. What this means is this, is that this good news that you can be clean, even though you've got dirt in your hands, this Messiah is going to come and make you clean again, is for everybody. Do not sit here this morning and exclude yourself from this good news. I want to tell you, this is such a simple message, but at this time of the year, the things that are deep inside of us tend to accentuate, and that's why I'm saying to you this morning, do you know what? Before God today, this message, whenever you start to walk around town, you go to the Christmas market or you do whatever, remember this, that God knows you and you're important to him. People will try to make you feel like you're small. The devil will try to come and say, do you know what? That you're just not good enough. You've got dirt in your hands. For goodness sake, you're not acceptable. You can't. How do you even come to church? How do you even pretend to be a Christian? Because look at your hands, covered in poo. And God says, you know what? I know you. I absolutely know you. And I came for you. And at this time of year, it's so important to remember that whenever you look around and you see people trying to be happy, you know the thing that will really make a big difference in your life at Christmas is understanding that you are loved. You are loved by Jesus, by God, and he has given everything for you. He came for you at Christmas. It's such a simple, simple thing that we often overlook because we see the shepherds and they're all lovely, aren't they? All kind of clean. They were stinking dirty. They lived in fields and they mucked out sheep, for goodness sake. And they were bogging, as we say. And God appears to the bogging people. I can see Hannah the German there looking really confused. Somebody translate bogging into dirt. Bogging, how's that? I want to tell you something. That you're important to God and you're important to us. If you're here this morning in this church, I want you to know that. That this is not a time of year where we want you to get forgotten about or to feel like, you know what, everybody's having a whale of a time apart from me. I want you to know that you're important. And you know, people don't often say that. People live with a big sense of actually, it doesn't really matter if I'm around or not. It does matter. It matters to me. It matters to Penny. It matters to this church that you're here and that we know that you're receiving a message that will change your life. You're important to God. All right? You're important to God. Now, here's the really cool thing about this story. The angels sang peace. It's funny that peace seems to be in short supply, doesn't it? What do you think of whenever you hear the word peace? Because we have this vision, don't we, at Christmas time that the angels sort of stood up in the sky and what they did was they sang peace over the whole world. And what that kind of meant was that from that moment on, what we had to do was kind of all get together in some kind of like hippie-like community where we all loved one another and shared our stuff together, you know, and all wore like 90s and just it was all peace, man, because that's what God was talking about. He was not talking about that. We often think that peace is simply the absence of conflict and nothing to do with the change of heart, but the angels were actually singing something different. This is the point. They were not saying that when Jesus would come, there would automatically be peace between men. You know, it's not what we think. It's somehow we think that somehow cosmically God is like the UN. He's like Kofi Annan and he's going to sit there and he's going to bring the people together and actually there's going to be peace on earth because of Jesus. And now that did not mean whenever the angels came that war and division were going to stop. In fact, it's a sign of the kingdom coming. It's a sign of the end times that actually there will be an increase in wars. So what the heck were the angels singing about? In Matthew 10:34, Jesus himself actually said, I didn't come to send peace. Now, here's the thing. It is a kingdom value, though. But what was he actually talking about? What the angels were announcing for you and for us was not that we were all going to live in some big kind of cosmic hippie loving, but actually what was going to happen was that it was a whole new era for mankind. And whenever the angels sang peace, what they were singing was this, that the anger and the judgment of God from God towards you, towards mankind, was done. The new era that the angels were singing about was not peace between you, although that would come, but actually they were saying this, do you know what, as far as God's concerned, it's now a state of peace between me and you. There's no longer any anger, there's no more any judgment. You know, the angels were saying that God is not angry with you anymore. When you sin, it doesn't make God reject you, and they were announcing the birth of the Messiah that would make them whole again. And the whole thing about peace, whenever you hear that word over Christmas, I want you to remember this. If you remember that whenever you hear that word peace, God is not angry with me anymore. Because that's what the angels announced. Isn't that incredible? That's what they said, you know what? God's not disappointed. God is now bringing you the Messiah who's going to clean you from the inside out. He's going to make you whole. He's going to make you righteous. He's going to pour every blessing into you through this Messiah. And that is a state of peace. The actual word is shalom. Okay? And this is what the angels sang. I love this. Whenever you read in the original language, what the angels actually sang. Okay? Because this is, in Isaiah 9:6, there's a beautiful prophecy. And they sang, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. Sar Shalom,
The actual word that the angels sang was Sar Shalom, and it means the Prince of Peace. And it's one of the most descriptive names that the Bible uses to indicate the ministry and the personality of the Messiah. And do you know what it means this? It means the Prince. Whenever you do a word study in Hebrew on Shalom, it means this here. It says completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety and soundness, tranquility, prosperity. He said that word again. Perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, and the absence of agitation or discord. So whenever the angels sang peace, what they said was this prince, this Messiah, you're Jesus today, you sitting here in 21st century Belfast, this was the point that where you can live now is in all of that completeness and wholeness, health and peace, welfare and safety, without agitation, with no discord, perfectly prosperous and full. That is peace from God towards you. And so whenever the angels sang peace, it was a new era. And you know what? At Christmas time, I want you to remember that. I don't want you to forget and get kind of just into turkey and wine and all the rest of it, which I fully intend to do. But here's the point. At this time of year, when especially when I start to look down into a cold January and into a cold February, do you know what I remember? I remember Sar Shalom, my Jesus, who says, you know what, Andrew, as you go into 2011, I want you to know that my plan and my era for you now is completeness, it's wholeness, and it's health. So I pick my head up going into next year and say, do you know what, God? This is the era that you brought in, and I'm going to live in the good of it. That's Christmas. Do you know what? That goes way beyond shiny lights and baubles and tinsel. That goes to the very heart of people. And I tell you what, whenever you get a grip that this Sar Shalom, this Prince of Peace, will make you perfectly whole, that you can enter into 2011 with rest and harmony and not agitated. Not that feeling of flip, is this just another year? But actually knowing that this is an era of peace and wholeness from God. Flip me. I love Christmas. I love Christmas. Sar Shalom is your Prince of Wholeness, your Prince of Peace. Isn't that incredible? I love it. I absolutely love it. I love the fact that God sings over you. I love the fact that God today, Father Heart of God, sings over you wholeness and love. He sings over you mercy and forgiveness. He sings over you cleanliness. He sings over you purity and innocence before God. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful song that God sings over you? Oh, my word. Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. I really want to tell you this. God, at Christmas, announced a new era of dealing with you. The Lord will bless you, it says in Numbers 6:24. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you, and he'll be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his face over you, and he will give you shalom. He will give you, let me say it again, completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, tranquility, prosperity. This is all what this word means. Fullness and rest. No agitation, no discord. That's Christmas. I don't know about you, but I really want to have that as my Christmas story. I really appreciate, and I love, especially with kids in the house, you know what I mean? It's like, I definitely go back to my inner child at this time of year because I start to look through the Argus catalogue and for research purposes. And I go through the Argus catalogue and I kind of go, I would actually love that. So I suggest it to Ben and he's like, no, Daddy, that's not cool. And I'm like, but we'd have loads of fun about this. And, you know, I really get Christmas. I'm super excited about what we've bought Ben because, you know, I can just see myself playing with it, okay? You know, it's the truth. I don't want to get caught up in the spirit of what this world says about Christmas. Do you know why? Because I know that after the day passes and Boxing Day comes and the week in between and the week after that, when we have to do life again, when we have to do real life again, when we have to go back to schools or colleges, when we have to get back into work, when we've got targets to meet or we've got bosses who are down our backs or we've got to find new jobs or we've got to pay our bills, that's when you know Sar Shalom, that wholeness and peace in your heart. You can receive that joy. It's not happiness, that's joy. Whenever God sings over you, do you know what? This is my heart for you. Man, that's a totally different way of living. It's a totally different way of living. And my last point is this morning, the angels, or the angels, as it says in my notes, the angels sang goodwill. They sang goodwill. Now, this is a really fantastic word. Okay, so they sing peace. And what they do is they announce that God's not angry anymore. They announce that everything you've waited for is found in this Messiah. They announce it to the dirtiest people in the world because that would have really cheesed off the religious people. So all the people who think they're brilliant before God and look at us, and if when this Messiah comes, he's going to be number one at my house because I am so good, and that's what God's looking for. And he chooses the dirty, smelly people and he says, you know what? The whole world doesn't like you and you're the lowest of the low, so I'm going to give you the good news. I love that. I really love that story. And then they start to sing peace and then they start to sing goodwill. Now the Hebrew word for this, goodwill, is a word called ratzon. And whenever, this is the thing that Christmas, you never actually get at Christmas. The whole thing of the Messiah coming, this person who was going to clean you up, make you new, and make you righteous so that you could be blessed before God, that there was deep meaning the whole way through the Old Testament towards this coming Messiah. It's not just a nice story. That this was their way of life. They had no other hope other than the Messiah coming to set them free. And they used a word the whole way through Jewish literature called ratzon, okay? And in Jewish literature, it's interesting that this word is what the angels sing whenever they come. Why? Because this word possessed really deep meaning for the Jewish people, okay? Because the word spoke not just of a way of dealing with you, but God's desire for you. Now, this is really important, okay? And I'm going to explain what I mean. Ratzon means this. Whenever they sang goodwill, they sang this word ratzon. Now, to a Jew at the time, what they would have understood, and today, if you even talk to Jewish people, you can approach God two ways. God, you do this, I do that. You do this. And it's almost like a legalistic kind of exchange between you and him. And that's the way the Jews worked. If I obey, then I get. If I stay in God's will, then I receive. Okay, and that's the whole history of the Jews up until the point where the Messiah comes. But even in their dealings with God that way, and sometimes that's the way you deal with God. You go, God, if I do this, then I'm going to receive. If I'm a good boy or girl, then I'm going to get. That's the way the Jews worked. But even in the middle of them doing that, you know as well, and the Jews knew that there was something much deeper than that. That just was not the way that God wanted to deal. And this word ratzon actually expressed God's desire to love them, to show mercy, and to give them joy. Then this was a massive change in how those people saw God. What it announced was this: not that I'm just going to deal with you differently, says God, in some kind of transaction, but actually my heart for you is going to be revealed. And it's not just that we deal with one another like you do, I do, you do, I do, but actually the Jews knew whenever the angels sang goodwill that they were announcing something completely different. They were announcing that this was actually God's heart revealed, and his heart of love, his heart of mercy, his heart of forgiveness was being shown in the Messiah. So whenever goodwill was shouted by the angels, what it meant was this. Do you know what? Gone are the days where it's like a legal contract between you. This is my heart. This is my heart. And at Christmas time, what God says is this. Don't deal with me on the basis, even in your heart and your mind, of if I do, then I'm going to get. If I do this, then I'm going to get. Because what God was saying is, you've missed it. My heart and my desire for you is to know my love and my mercy and my grace and my forgiveness and my wholeness and my completeness. It's not just that I am going to put these things on you. I really want you to live in it. This is what I built you for. This is what I made you for. And at Christmas time, as you think about the Messiah coming, understand that you will understand my heart. You see, many of us have this idea that God still, his heart still is a wee bit kind of cold towards us. Because we always come back to what we do. But God, I do this. And there's something deep inside of us that needs to understand that this goodwill, all right, was used 56 times in the Old Testament. And 37 of those times, it refers to God's heart to bless you and to have you live in favor. Deuteronomy 33, verse 24 says, you will be satisfied with goodwill. You'll be satisfied with God's blessing and God's favor. Okay, and in Solomon, it says, and us and our children, O Lord, be your goodwill forever. So to us, O Lord, be your blessing and your favor forever. Not just a way of dealing with God, but actually living in the goodness of God's love and mercy. That's what these angels were singing. This was totally radical for a Jew. It's totally radical for us today. It denotes actually God's higher purpose, and it really expresses what God really desires for you. I want to tell you, this is not just something where you go, okay, that's where it is. This is God's heart. At this time of year, that you remember that his desire for you, it's not just that he's provided it and he kind of goes, well, take it or leave it. All right? I'm kind of not really fussed. Take it or leave it. No, his heart and his desire is that you receive the fullness of why Jesus came. It's not good enough to take it or leave it. He actually wants you to live right in the very middle of it. Isn't that amazing? That's goodwill. What does that actually mean? It's kind of like a Bonhomme sort of slap on the back. Goodwill. No, no, no. God's heart that you live in mercy. God's heart that you live in fullness. God's heart that you live in completeness. That's what God sings over you. So I want to tell you, I'm just going to finish right now. Such a simple message today. But you know something? Sometimes the most simple things are the most difficult to actually grasp. Sometimes the most, you know, it's like I've said a number of times, the bits of the Bible that I find hardest to get are the bits that I actually understand. Because they're really actually quite straightforward. But I tell you this, your Christmas and your 2011, as you gear up for it, will be totally different whenever you really start to live and understand in the goodness that you are important to God. That even with dirt on your hands, Jesus makes them clean in a way which nothing else will ever do. So that you can stand and receive the peace and the goodwill of God at Christmas. That's his heart, not just his way of dealing. That's God's heart for you. Now, what I want you to do this Christmas is to think upon those things. And I'm going to talk next week about hope. Because Christmas actually announced, it was like the consummation of hope. And I'm going to talk about that. But this Christmas, remember those three simple points. This week, dwell on them, think about them. You're important to God. That God's not angry anymore. That he is Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And that goodwill, it's not just that's what God says to you. That's God's heart for you. You can be confident to receive from God today. Do you know why? Because that's his heart. He wants you.
Great things have yet to come.